Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led Jesus up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered the devil, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, the Lord alone shall you serve." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, God will command the angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered the devil, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Having finished every test, the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Last weekend was a festive time at Uniloo. On Saturday, there was a celebration of Pastor Kathleen's inspiring years of service with us. And on Sunday, we observed the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord with singing, with new music, with shared presiding, and with preaching. In Pastor Kathleen's farewell sermon, she mentioned that mountains in Scripture are places where the veil between heaven and earth becomes thinner, and places where theophanies occur and epiphanies happen. But today we start by traveling to a different place, to the wilderness. That is, to a deserted place, an uninhabited region, a desert. This space, too, can be a place of divine meeting, but it can also be a place of demonic danger. Our gospel text opens, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. At the Jordan, after Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. That preposition "by" can also be translated as "in." Thus, Jesus was led in the Spirit. In either case, Jesus was spirit-led or led into a place of being tempted by the devil. Note that throughout these 40 days, Jesus was tempted. The three temptations in the text are just the latest in the string of temptations. The word "tempted" can also be translated as "tested." Commentator Brian Stoffergen notes that generally when teachers or driving instructors give tests, they're not trying to flunk the testees, but to help discover what they know and what they can do. But the Greek word here, peirazō, can also have negative connotations, as in to tempt, or to try and cause someone to make a mistake, or to try and cause someone to sin. So at the same time that God is testing the strength of one's faithfulness, the tempter may be tempting someone to sin. In this period of 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus is tempted concerning his baptismal vocation. How will Jesus fulfill the Spirit-anointed vocation as child of God, the Beloved? Will Jesus choose self-indulgence by turning stones into bread? Will Jesus choose self-aggrandizement by claiming authority over all the kingdoms of earth, albeit with the catch of worshiping the devil? Will Jesus choose self-serving religious identity by making a big spectacle of throwing himself off the very pinnacle of the temple to be caught by angels? No, Jesus responds to each of these texts, the scripture texts, each of these tests with scripture texts drawn from the book of Deuteronomy. These scriptures remind the devil that the Spirit of God is present with God's people and with Jesus, not just in happy times, but also in wilderness times. After having been baptized, Jesus prayed. And I am sure that Jesus continued to pray while fasting those 40 days in the wilderness. But I wonder, did Jesus also sing as part of that praying? Might Jesus have sung from that prayer book, the book of Psalms? These 40 days of Lent are a time for us, as it was for Jesus, to affirm our baptismal vocation. And to support us on our Lenten journey, we too have the book of Psalms. Additionally, we have the Psalms found in our hymnals. For the next few minutes, let's take a journey through the hymns we are singing in today's service, considering especially the authors of these hymn texts and a bit more about their backgrounds. This journey can, perhaps, help us more clearly discover how these hymns illustrate and illuminate today's scripture texts. The five authors we will meet on this journey are Sylvia C. Dunstan, Susan Palo Cherwin, Mary Louise Bringle, Doris Akers, and Ruth Duck. The sixth hymn selected for today, the Third Communion Hymn, does not have an individual text author, which means that the poets for today's hymns are all women. Though I know it isn't a liturgical season, I do think it appropriate to note that March is Women's History Month, and that Tuesday of this week, March 8th, is International Women's Day. Anne Ferentz is our hymn chooser for this month of March. So I want to thank you, Anne, for offering us the opportunity to lift up and to give thanks for these women, our companions on the journey. Our gathering hymn this morning was "Bless Now, O God, the Journey." Have you ever thought about who wrote the words? Hymns downloaded for our bulletin are laid out a bit differently from those that are found printed in the hymnals. For example, the downloaded versions don't include the hymn meters, but they do still include the author of the text and the source of the music. This text and music information can be found in a quite small print at the lower left of each hymn. The author of our gathering hymn was Sylvia G. Dunstan. Who is Sylvia? Born in 1955, she was a Canadian who, after a brief, arduous battle with liver cancer, died in 1993 at the age of 38. Before her early death, she served for 13 years in the United Church of Christ as a parish minister and as a prison chaplain. Those who knew her remembered her for her passion for those in need, her gift of writing, and her love of liturgy. Her reference in our hymn to the lands of promise where milk and honey flow connects us to the people that Moses led. The trail of this journey, she writes, is found in desert and winds the mountain road. Despite the trials of her cancer, Sylvia Dunstan wrote about 45 hymn texts in her lifetime, five of which are in the ACS and four of which are in the ELW, including one we sing fairly regularly, "All Who Hunger Gather Gladly," and "Crashing Waters at Creation," thus illustrating her lasting influence on our liturgy and aiding us today in our own prayer and reflection on scripture. Continuing our journey, we come to the hymn of the day, "As Your Spirit in the Desert." As you can see in the fine print, the text is by Susan Palo Cherwin. Eight of her texts are in the ACS. Another eight are in the ELW. In the third stanza of the hymn we are singing today, she mentions the wild beasts that may lurk in shadow. I just wanted to note that those wild beasts are found in Mark's account of the temptation of Jesus. Susan invites us for our Lenten journey to cross into the wilderness, so to walk where Christ has gone. The last stanza opens, "God of desert, God of promise, you have bid us journey on through the days of dust and darkness, through the rising of the sun." To Susan's birth date of 1953 in the hymnal, we now sadly must add her death date, as she died the morning December 28th, 2021 from brain cancer. Another of her hymns which is found in the ELW is O Blessed Spring. The morning after Susan's death, her husband of 40 years, organist and composer David Sherwin, posted on her Caring Bridge site stanzas 4 and 5 of that hymn. As winter comes, as winters must, we breathe our last, return to dust. Still held in Christ, our souls take wing and trust the promise of the spring. Christ, holy vine, Christ, living tree, be praised for this blessed mystery, that word and water thus revive and join us to your tree of life. David adds, I was struck by one word in O Blessed Spring that I had not noticed before. Still. Her text doesn't say God waits to the moment of death to sweep down, to haul the soul off. It has been there all along. Still held in Christ, her souls take wing. Ah. We continue our journey to the First Communion hymn as the winter days grow longer. The text of this hymn was written by Mary Louise Bringle, some might call Mel, who was born in 1953, the same year as Susan Palo Turwin. The hymn speaks of yearning people gathering together. We are reminded that we are Lenten people gathering together to seek lives refreshed from sin. As we journey through this season, we are pilgrims through a thirsty land. We are wandering people gathered here. To rest along the way. The ELW has 3 of Mel's texts, while the ACS has no fewer than 12. One of these, When the Heavens Start to Whisper, we sang in Advent. Mel, a teacher at heart and a theologian by training, began writing hymn texts in 1999. A winner of numerous international hymn writing competitions, she has been called an emerging text writer by the Hymn Society in the United States and Canada. We aren't finished yet. We are journeying on to the next, to the second communion hymn, Lead Me, Guide Me, where the text and music are written by Doris Akers. This is the only hymn we have by Doris in the ELW, although the hymnal This Far by Faith also includes her hymn, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit in This Place. Doris was born to an interracial couple, the 8th of 10 children. In addition to being a writer and a composer and a arranger of songs, she was a singer, a pianist, and a choir director, developing and directing a large gospel choir for the Sky Pilot Radio Church. She was one of the first and foremost gospel artists to cross racial boundaries. She has been called one of the most underrated gospel composers of the 20th century, who wrote more than 500 songs. Born in 1923, she died of spinal cancer. In 1995. In 2001, Doris was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. I think that the second stanza of her Lead Me, Guide Me hymn that we're singing later seems especially appropriate for this first Sunday in Lent when we ask the Lord to be my aid when Satan and sin oppress. We pause on our journey to note that the third communion hymn, Guide My Feet, is an African-American spiritual with no single author of the text given. Although we don't know the origins of the spiritual, we can still give thanks for the prayer it offers for our spirit, our Lenten journey. Guide my feet while I run this race. Hold my hand, stand by me, search my heart while I run this race. We are now nearing the end of our journey through today's hymns. We've come to the sending hymn, which is When We Are Tested. This is a fitting hymn to recap some of the themes and yearnings as well as temptations of this first Sunday in Lent. The hymn begins, when we are tested and wrestle alone. And Jesus certainly was tested and wrestled alone. The hymn continues, famished for bread when the world offers stone. This is a reversal of Jesus' encounter with the devil in today's text, when the devil offers Jesus bread from stone. It's also a reference in Matthew's gospel to Jesus' teaching on the persistence of prayer, where Jesus asks, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? The last stanza of the hymn speaks of angels of healing, of hope, and of prayer. The text of When We Are Tested was written by Ruth C. Duck. Born in 1947, Ruth is a minister in the United Church of Christ. Ordained in 1974, she noticed throughout her early years as pastor that the language used in hymnals and worship books for God was nearly exclusively masculine. Finding a dearth of inclusive language resources for worship, she produced two such resources: Bread for the Journey, Resources for Worship, and Everflowing Streams, Songs of Worship, published in 1981. Just for the record, she signed my one of these. Both of these books, which were on my bookshelf until I brought them in today, were extremely helpful to me when I started my own journey toward the use of more inclusive language for God. When I started as Protestant campus minister at UMass Lowell, I ordered several copies of the Everflowing Streams for use at worship services with the students. Since then, we've had more opportunities and more resources, but those were really helpful at the beginning. Initially, Ruth adapted older hymn texts into language that was more inclusive. She has since written her own texts using non-gendered language for God. She estimates that she has written around 150 to 200 hymns, about 10 a year. Six of her hymns are in ACS, four are in the ELW, including Arise, Your Light Has Come, which we sing periodically. Brian Wren, a hymn writer whose texts are also represented in the ELW and ACS, has said of Ruth, "Ruth Duck has consistently and persistently sought for worship language that expands our vision of the divine mystery and makes all human beings visible." In the words of the last stanza of our sending hymn, "When we have struggled and searched through the night, sorting and sifting the wrong from the right, Savior, surround us with circles of care, angels of healing, of hope, and of prayer." Savior, surround us with circles of care. During these troubling and troubled times, when we may be tested and tempted to despair, we pray that we would find support within a circle of care, and that we would become angels of hope and encouragement to others. I like to think that the five writers we have studied very briefly today, Sylvia Dunstan, Susan Palo-Cherwin, Mary Louise Bringle, Doris Akers, and Ruth Duck, are part of such circles of care. And to complete the circle, I close now with a new text that uses the five titles of the hymns we've mentioned today. As the winter days grow longer, and as threats to the earth grow stronger, when we are tested, O God, protect us. As your spirit in the desert empowered Jesus to assert, lead me, guide me, hold me, help me. Bless now, O God, the journey. Fill us all with love and mercy. Amen. I invite us now to turn to the hymn of the day, As Your Spirit in the Desert. And you may stand if you wish, or you may stay seated.